The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And it's going to be a bright, 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 sunshiny day.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I still got it going on. Things are good with me. I am so happy. So you got back from Phoenix. How was it?
Nope. Texas. I went to Texas. I was asked to coach at the Circuit of the Americas, the Formula One racetrack that they use every October for Formula One.
Did you get to drive a Formula One car?
I did not get to drive Formula One, but I got to drive my car for about 150 miles on the track, and then I coached for probably another 150 miles, and so I got about 300 miles on the track. And then the treat for me was I got to ride in a brand new 2025 Porsche GT3 RS with Randy Popes, he's probably the most successful American racing car driver ever.
Really?
And this, it was ridiculous. I was doing 162 miles an hour at 8:15 in the morning, so it was pretty cool.
That'll wake you up. So what's that car cost?
Oh, I'm guessing if you and I were to go sticker it out, probably $275,000. So
$2,000,070.
No, $275,000. It's almost affordable. But it was just crazy watching him drive and race tires. I mean, full stickies. It was a great experience. I'm glad I went. I don't need to go back. Texas is a different state for me. You know, people are like, oh, we're going to Texas. Well, out in the middle of Texas, Nick, there's a lot of nothing, just so you know.
Oh, I know. I've driven through there. I drove to, South Padre Island. A friend of mine, Rick McDonald, and I took off in 19. Well, we got to Texas the day NAFTA was signed.
Oh.
We had a 28-foot boat, and we were going to Belize to fish until we ran out of money. We each took $6,000, and they shut down the border. We spent 4 days in Brownsville, Texas, and we couldn't get across.
Really?
So we came back, and we went across down to Baja, and we were going to fish down there for a while. We spent Christmas in Ensenada, and we got down to Baja, south of Baja, and it started raining, and it kept raining, and it kept raining. And I looked at Rick, and I said, let's go home. I'm starting to get bed sores staying in this rinky-dink motel. He says, let's go. And we were just a couple of days ahead of the flood where people were leaving their RVs and coming home. It blew out the bridges and all kinds of stuff.
See, you had a premonition, and you were right.
That's right.
Very impressive.
This isn't fun anymore, and it's costing a lot of money. Let's go.
Yeah, when you start to hurt on vacation, it's not good. So let's get this out of the way, Nick. First off, folks, welcome to Poking Hornet's Nest, and we have to do this for Dad, so we'll do it. It's KCNR from 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and KCNR1460.com. So there, we've done our obligation to Dad. We got a good show, I think, today, Nick.
Yeah, I've got an award here, the highest raise from the city of Reading in the last 5 years. Kim Nehmer. In 2021, she was making $139,000. In 2023, she was making $266,000. That's a $127,000 raise, and that's not counting her benefits and her PERS.
And that's for recreation, for the record.
Isn't that something?
That is ridiculous.
And she retired the next year. Would have thought?
Who would have thought they would have spiked the pension just before she went out? That is absolute. Well, I mean, that's the problem with government right there, you know, is they've set this thing up so that these folks can do it. And, I mean, I have clients who are cops, and I wouldn't be a cop if you paid me. I would probably shoot people just because I don't have patience for that. And they see things, the cops and firefighters see things I don't personally want to see. So I don't begrudge them making some money because their careers are relatively short, and they see things I don't want to see. But city desk people, $200,000 for recreation programming, I mean, come on.
And one of the big mistakes I thought she made, in my opinion, was...
Only one.
Well, you know, Rick Bozzetti and... what's his name? The big architect in town.
Oh, Les Melberg.
Les Melberg.
Yep.
They wanted to take over South City Park.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted 1.5 million, or maybe just a million, of the ARPA money, and they had $10 million worth of private donations already committed to build South City Park. They had a wonderful layout that they were going to do,
mm-hmm.
and the city said, "No, we'll do it ourselves."
Well,
and the city, I think, got about a $6 million grant, but they haven't done anything with it yet. And to me, that's just one headache that would have gone away.
Well, at least we have this. We still have the hot and running, hot and cold running rodents and homeless people. So they've done a lot.
Speaking of hot and running rodents, there's a new load dropped off in town. When I drove up Pine Street, I saw a couple guys walking around trying to get their bearings, and down on West Cypress, there was a guy in a wheelchair I'd never seen before with a cowboy hat on and a cane, and he was sitting about halfway in the middle of the street, the side street, talking to himself.
Oh.
Some guy was on a bicycle wanting to cross the street, and he was afraid to because this guy was in a way, and he didn't want to get close to him.
Well, that's a Democrat voter right there. Let's truck him in.
So, come on, give us your... Okay, so we were talking about money and stuff how much the races are and everything. Have you been to one of the people gathering signatures to get the 1 cent sales tax on for the city?
I have not been in town much since this whole thing happened.
Well, I was going into Safeway, East Cypress,
mm-hmm.
and here's a table set up,
yep.
and I walked over and I said, what are you signing here? Do you want another fire station and more firemen? Sign here. And I says, well, is that all? And she says, well, we're going to get 20 new police. I said, well, we're going to get 20 new police, and what else? Oh, we're going to expand the airport and lengthen it so DC-10s can come in. They can carry more water to put out our forest fires. And I said, well, is that all? And she says, well, you know what the revolving door is, don't you? And I said, well, isn't that when somebody goes into jail and they let them right back out because they don't have enough beds? And she said, yeah. And I said, so this is going to give us more beds in the jail? And she said, yes. And, you know, I said, are you a paid signature gatherer? And she said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is dirty pull. I had to pry it out of her that it's a 1 cent sales tax raise.
Yep.
1 cent to the 7.25% we're collecting now on sales tax is a 13.78% increase in the sales tax.
Correct. Well, you know, it's funny when you mention that, Nick, is when the shopping center got approved down at the corner of Knighton, and I'm so glad that they've done so much with that property. It's really increased the value.
They're putting in a Maverick down there.
Oh, they might have actually finally got something going then, because
yes.
I was involved only because I was the president of the association. We got it through, passed the planning and the board of supervisors, and then the Churn Creek Bottom Association started doing this collection, signature collection. And I asked like three of the people that I would run into. They just blatantly lied. They had no idea what it was about, but they were saying sound bites that people, oh yeah, we don't want this. We don't want this. We're going to empty our mall. And I'm like, you guys are, I mean, I actually accused one. I said, you're just blatantly lying for signatures. So it doesn't surprise me, sir, that they're not using factual truth to get people to sign that paperwork. It's kind of the way it goes anymore.
You know, we've got some people that deserve a big pat on the back. Where is it? This stuff's never here when I need it. Tawny Cowler, she is a roller hockey player. She's, I think she's 36. When I took my son Logan down to play hockey when he was about 10, she was there playing hockey. I watched her go through the years. She was on the United States, damn, I wish I had that right here handy. It's never handy when you need it.
You've only got 17 pages on your desk here.
World Masters Roller Hockey. She went to a tournament. I think it was the 10 or 12 best players in the United States in that age group. First tournament, went to Germany and won first place, won gold.
Wow.
And that was just really something special. I'm going to try and contact them, see if I can get them on. And then a news cafe.
What happened now?
They got 12 awards.
Really?
Yes. Out of 1,600 and something that were awarded, they got 12, and they're real proud of that.
Well, you know, they got more than we've got. I mean, you get me as an award, but other than that, we haven't got anything to speak of.
I brought you a donut last week.
Well, that's true. That's an award enough. That makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But you know what, Nick?
Well, if you had shaved, you wouldn't be so fuzzy. Still.
Well, I'm going in for oral surgery tomorrow, so I'm enjoying.
Are you really?
I am. It's going to bite. I got to have some.
Most people get that out of the way when they're a kid.
Well, I thought I would wait till them later, and it's going to hurt and it's going to suck, but that's what it is. So anyways, Nick, one of the things that I thought was very interesting that I was not aware of, and I didn't realize how liberal Texas was. Texas is extremely liberal. I mean, Austin has always been liberal. That's all right. But I'm out in the middle of nowhere. Llano, Texas. L-L-A-N-O. Llano, Texas. And there are thousands upon thousands of windmills out in the middle of nowhere. So I'm sitting in the right seat. My brother's driving 90 miles an hour because the speed limit on the tollway was 85. So we're doing five over. And I'm starting doing research. The cost for each individual windmill is between $2.5 and $4 million. For each windmill. To replace a blade is about $400,000, and to decommission a windmill is about $1 million. So I started adding that up by the stuff I saw. There's no way in the world that farm is ever going to make an actual profit. And if you take away the subsidy from the government, you and I and the people listening, that thing is just a massive boondoggle in what's supposed to be the most conservative state in the union. It was ridiculous. And I was telling Carl this, having a discussion about that in Texas, they have these massive dumps for fiberglass windmill blades because they don't last more than about 5 years. You know, I don't have a grinder that big.
Grind them up and make roads out of them or something.
Well, you know, they're basically resined fiberglass, but I mean, I don't know if
Let's
you can.
Let's just dump them in the ocean like they used to. Hell, nobody knows what's in there.
Well, you know, I'm just looking at what the green boondoggle is and that Texas, you know, supposedly the conservative libertarian small government state fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And the green scam, you know, there's a lot of things I'm not agreeing with Trump on, and I'm hoping he gets rid of that green initiative, but he's going about it all wrong. He's doing it by EOs, executive orders, and so the next president can reenact everything. And he's got the House and the Senate. Go through them and get rid of all that green scam stuff that everybody's doing. So I just had a story this morning with one of the folks here at the station, and they have some friends who signed up for solar, and now they can't afford their house and their solar because the solar payment's gone up, and so is the electricity, and it's just a scam. So I thought I'd bring that in this morning, that if you think...
And there's no break at even point with the carbon footprint producing the windmills.
No. No, because you and I did
the steel and concrete.
The 900,
let me read you something.
900 tons of concrete. How much energy does that take? And it takes on an average 120 trucks per windmill. But that's not green. That's not carbon intrusive. But what are you reading?
Well, this is from Range Magazine, and this is just not even a full paragraph. This is an executive order our President Trump signed.
Yes.
And it wasn't with an auto pen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Every proposed windmill project on private land must get a permit to kill eagles from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The Fish and Wildlife Service permit application website has a clear notice that in compliance with the executive order, it is issuing no new permits. This means that no new project can begin operating even if it is fully built and ready to run. Fish and Wildlife is also not issuing revisions to expiring permits, which means some older projects may have to be shut down.
Yay!
You have to get a permit to kill eagles.
Hey, if that stops the project we forced down our throat from Commie Newsom,
Do you know what they do if they caught you with eagle feathers in your house?
Oh, my gosh.
That's a big no-no.
No, it's terrible. We actually had, where I live, we had an eagle land in the pond last week, and Lizzie took pictures of it as it walked around. What a beautiful bird. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it was amazing. Well, you know what, Nick? That's some of the best news I've heard in a long time, because that means hopefully that complete boondoggle, farce, waste of money thing that they're shoving down our throats up in Bernie won't happen. So maybe there's a reprieve there, folks. I'm hoping.
I went to the state put on a forum about the windmills, and they had the people that want to put the windmills in up there, and then they had the other side, which is speak a little bit. Kevin Christ spoke, and Dave Rickard spoke, I think. And anyway, when I walked in, I said, where's the forms to sign up to public comment? Oh, right over there. So I filled out this blue form and I sat down, and they went through their whole spiel. And the state was kind of fair about the good side and the bad side of the windmills.
There's no good side.
And then the people that want to put in the windmills, they got up there and talked about how good it was.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And then they took public comment, and they said, these people with the blue forms get to speak first. They can speak for 5 minutes. They're government people representing the government. And the yellow ones get to speak for 3 minutes. This is the general public. So I'm sitting there thinking, well, what am I going to say? And they had some people from the tribes up there, and Kevin Cry talked, and some other people talked. And I got up there, and I said, you had to say your name and spell it. I said, Nick Gardner, NickGardner, Public Relations, Shasta County. I've got two questions for you. And I got away with it.
No way.
Yeah.
So you're secretly on the payroll is what you're saying.
Well, I should be. I'm going to talk to CEO Rickard about that this next meeting.
Wow.
There's a meeting Tuesday. I would encourage people to go, because if you don't go to these meetings and you don't listen to us, you don't really have a clue what's going on, because the three news media in the Reading area, in my opinion, are not being honest with you.
No. No. If they're left of center, they're going to slant everything. And we try to base it on facts. That's our goal. They base it on emotion. And that's a big difference between presenting what is happening versus what is perceived.
You know, and we had a big win in court this week. The failed recall people, led by Jeff Gorder, they had their suit, their case thrown out of court, more or less.
Oh.
They were suing Dave Rickard and Shasta County for hiring Chris Street to consult about.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that lawsuit, yes.
And it's just ridiculous. Shasta County hires consultants all day long, but Gorder, anything to get his name in the paper and stir up the pot. And this suit, they had to hire outside counsel, so you know it's costing us a ton of money.
Yep.
He's always going on and on how this board's costing us a lot of money, and he's filing suits, and just, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. And what it amounts to is all these liberals that have invaded our county here.
Yep.
You know, in my neighborhood, I don't call them neighbors, I call them invaders. Absolutely. I mean, geez, and they got their nose in my business all the time. What are you doing here? Well, don't you have your own business in mind? That's what I tell them.
Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it in the future, is the difference between a conservative and a liberal is pretty clear. A conservative writes laws or does things that they themselves would adhere to. Liberals write laws that you must adhere to, but not them.
And to add on to that, conservatives work for a living and earn their way, and conservatives or liberals, they got their hand out and they don't produce nothing. That's a general. There might be a few that earn their way,
yeah.
But yeah, I'd say it's damn few.
Yeah.
And the few that do, they probably inherited their money. I mean, you take a look at Sierra Pacific, they're turning liberal.
Yeah.
Dad's pretty much retired and turned it over to the kids and the grandkids, and you start looking at the things they're doing, and they're turning a liberal.
Well, yeah, and Red is a hardcore businessman. He made his way the hard way, the old way, and
I would wager he's conservative.
Yeah, I would too.
But, you know, at the same time, you've got to love your kids and your grandkids. What can you do?
Well, and you know, the thing is, you know, at least from what I've seen, you know, they may donate to the local Republican Party, but the Republicans, as a rule, including LaMalfa, have turned into just rhinos. I mean, LaMalfa's going to vote for this bill, I think. He was supposed to be on Carl's show Friday. I didn't get to listen. But he's expressed support for it because it extends Trump's tax cuts. I told Carl to ask him some questions, and I'm sorry I didn't listen to it. I should. But
it's not too late.
Well, I know. But
Archives. You can listen to us on archives, and if you want to listen to what Carl has to say, you fish around.
I wanted to hear what Doug had to say, because it's just an example of a conservative who's selling out, and you know, yes, there will be some short-term pain. Yes, there will, but the long-term gain is going to be massive. Voting this bill through, this big, beautiful bill, just for a couple dollars in people's pockets right now is a massive disaster, and I'm not the world's biggest fan of Elon Musk. The gentleman has made his fortunes by getting tax dollar subsidies. And then he became the overseer of who's getting tax dollar subsidies, you know, and waste. But he's right. This bill is an abomination. It is an absolute disaster because it's adding to an already unsustainable debt. And LaMalfa and rhinos are going to vote for it and push it through. And that's just wrong.
How much debt's it's sticking us with?
Well, it's projected, if things stay what it is, doesn't even count that there might be a recession or downturn in the economy, but it's projected to add over $2 trillion this year, $2 trillion more, $2 trillion after that, and then another $2 trillion at the end of Trump's term. So between now and then, they're saying that it could add up to $10 trillion if there's any downturn in the economy. And when you know what's really bad, this is when Trump shows his real roots. Him and Elizabeth Warren agree there should be no debt ceiling. If that's where you're thinking, you're way off base.
Well, I don't know what you're reading, but what I read is it would add $3.2 trillion to the deficit in 10 years.
No,
and,
that's wrong.
And that depends on who you read, whether it's wrong or not, Doug.
I know.
This is going to eliminate federal income taxes on tips. Now, who's that help? That helps the little guy. Temporary suspension of federal taxes on overtime from 2026 to 2028. No taxes on overtime. A lot of people, that's where they make their bread and butter in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Makes permanent the individual tax cuts from Trump's 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. This is going to, estimates it's going to save the average American household $1,700 per year. That's enough to feed your family for how long? Quite a while.
That's $100 a month.
Raises the standard deduction for Americans over 65 by $4,000. Phased out incomes, phased out for incomes over $75,000. Let's see, a tax deduction on interest for loans used to buy American-made cars. Who's that going to help? That's going to help me.
Build better American cars and they'll be sold by themselves.
Oh, yes, okay. Let's see. This will add $3.8 trillion to the national debt over the next decade, depending on growth assumptions and inflation rates. That's serious. That's what's not taken into your $10 billion. There's also worth noting the deficit and debt estimates from the Congressional Budget Office. I'm getting excited.
Yes, so you are. You're
stuttering.
I'm on this side of the table. Stay
I'm
there.
Afraid you're going to butt in and not let me talk anymore.
Are you kidding me?
They're always overestimating how much this is going to cost, and they don't take into consideration economic growth that comes from tax cuts resulting in higher revenues. You know, one thing I don't like about this is the name, Big Beautiful Bill. That just bothers me. But, you know, and Musk's frustration is valid, and anyone who values responsible government should take it serious. But diminishing this bill as a gift to the rich is dishonest. Working people like me and you, the middle class, we need the breaks. And he's not giving them to the big boys like Political and a lot of these left-leaning CBS News and those places like to make out. Hey, we're going to go to a break pretty quick. Do you want to finish up?
I'll wait till after the break.
If he starts cutting down what I said, just cut him off and go to break. Yeah, let's go to a break, Phil. What?
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243 CT Reading.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
Gold Leaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Gold Leaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Very strange about California, as you know, it's the most regulated state in the country, and it's the least regulated. So it has 20% of the population is at or below the poverty line. 1/3 of people on public assistance live in California. 40% are on Medi-Cal. 50% of all births are Medi-Cal. And it's almost like California over-regulates the upper middle class or the middle class to compensate for this 10 to 12 million people, both, and 27% of California's resident population was not born in the U.S., but they don't know how to handle this huge population. And when I mean that, it's, do they tax these swap meets on Saturday, where you can go 2 miles from my house, I can buy a bed, I can buy a lawnmower, I can buy anything without paying sales tax. I can get a whole meal on any corner. If I want to buy a shovel or a bike, I can buy. There's a huge black market economy. And then if I want solar panels on my house or to put a new mailbox, the inspection will be so, you know, what it is. But right across the street, if I tell the inspector, well, maybe my panel is 2 inches off, but over there, there's open Romex, there's an open pit underneath that porta potty. It's an old outhouse. Would you go over there? And their response is no, because where would I begin and where would I end, and what would be the political ramifications? So
watch what...
Okay, so here, I've got some things before Doug gets started here. It's Tawny Cowell, the hockey player. She played for Team USA, Women's Master Inline Hockey World Cup. They won first place in Germany. And that's a big deal, somebody from Reading doing that.
That is cool.
Yes, and her kids are about the same age, a little bit younger than when my son Logan started playing hockey. They're playing out there at Big League Dreams in the field house. And her husband Brian is running the program out there. They've got hockey for kids from probably about 5 years old up to old men like Ted Leidy, who's about, he's about my age, isn't he?
That's really old.
He knows Barney, though. I never got to know Barney. And then another thing here, the failed recall people and the people that don't like Clint Curtis and that Joanna Francesca got fired, which I support, they've been calling the Secretary of State and voicing their complaints. I called the Secretary of State. I'm going to give you the phone number here. I called the Secretary of State and I said, you know, I just want you to know that there's a lot of people up here that support Clint Curtis and support his decision to fire Joanna Frances Scott. She had the opportunity to make our elections transparent and she didn't. And I just wanted you to know that. And the gal said, thank you, Nick, but she wasn't real enthusiastic about the thank you. I can't imagine that with – is there some liberals down in Sacramento and in the Secretary of State? Anyway, the phone number is 916-653-6814. And I encourage you, if nothing else, just to say I support Clint Curtis and how he's going to make our elections transparent here in Shasta County. And if you want to go on, go on. But I found the simpler it is, the better it is.
Yeah.
And then as a final announcement, I have started a podcast every Friday morning at 7 o'clock on mountaintopmedia.com with John Knight.
Oh.
And it lasts 1 hour. Our first podcast was just this last Friday, 2 days ago. And it's going to be every Friday, 7 o'clock. We're going to talk about local issues. When we run out of local issues, we'll talk about issues statewide. When we run out of those, we'll talk about national issues. That's when we'll get you on, Doug.
Well, fair enough.
But that's at mountaintopmedia.com. You can also go to Patriot State of Mind, M-I-N-D, and get it, and it'll be on Facebook. It is on Facebook, TikTok, and all those things. So tune in. I'd be happy to share my thoughts with you on what's going on in our city.
You're so reserved. I can't believe you would share your thoughts at all. I think you're so reserved, shy. You know, you don't like being in front of the microphone.
I'm going to up how much you pay me to come on this show, Doug.
Well, I was saying, I was in the blue room getting a massage before we went live, and I mean, crying out loud, that's the only reason I do the show with you. Folks, listen up. This is very important, and this is dead serious. And I do want to take a minute to thank the liberals, because this was voted on by the liberals 100% in a, agreement. Starting next month, 3 weeks from today, the gas that you're about to put in your car is going to go up 61 cents a gallon. It was supposed to be, I think it was 50-something cents, and then they moved it up to, I think it's 61 cents a gallon. So if you love paying double what the national average is, you're about to get that opportunity. So if your food starts to get even more expensive, the cost of living gets more expensive. There's actually a bill I'm going to do some research before the end of the show and talk about it as well. But basically, we have now 61.2 cents to be at. And how you get a 0.2 cents, I don't know. But just want to let you know that the CAR Board, the California Air Resources Board, is set to set this into motion. It's already been signed by Gavin Commie Newsom, and this is a one-sided thing. If you're a liberal listening, you can't pass the buck on this one. Your side voted 100% to support this. The conservative side, if that is a term in our state, voted against it. So when you're at the gas pump and you're paying $6 a gallon, and here's the best part, folks, so listen up. This is going to get really fun. And this may be old news to some of you because you're probably educated. It is projected that by 2026, gasoline will be $8.44 a gallon in California.
Is that including the mileage tax they're going to put on?
We haven't even talked about that. And what's funny is when the liberals come up with that idea about mileage tax, it just shows sheer stupidity. If you drive more, you use more gas, you're paying more taxes in the gas you use, you're already paying a mileage tax because you're already paying more because you're putting more gas in.
But if you got solar panels and an electric car, it's all free.
Yes, there's no carbon offset there. So anyways, folks, I just wanted to let you know that thank you very much. Another nail in California's coffin has been hammered in by one side, and it is going to be $8 a gallon based on independent estimates, because not only this tax increase, but starting now and then going for the next year and a half, we're losing 20% of our oil refinery capacity in California. So they're leaving the state. They can't deal with the state anymore. The regulations have killed them. They're getting out of the state. So we're going to have 80% of our current capacity, which is already not enough to bring California on the road. So we're losing 20% capacity, and we're adding 61 cents to the price of gas in about 3 weeks. What's the worst that could happen on that, Nick?
To be more specific,
please.
Valero is shutting down its refinery in Benicia.
Yep.
And Phillips 66 is shutting its refinery down in, I think it's down around Los Angeles someplace.
Yep.
And part of the problem is that California is demanding a new blend that is going to be so expensive, they're just going to move.
Yep. I mean, we have, I think I read a couple years back that we have 13 blends of gasoline. The rest of the United States has one. We have 13. And based on the region and the time of year is what determines what blend you're supposed to use.
Well, that keeps the small engine repair shops in business because each of these blends is hard on your motor.
Yes. And it wears them out quicker.
Yeah, it eats the hoses. All of a sudden, you know, you're not getting any gas to your carburetor because your hose fell apart.
Yep.
And I just had that problem. I've got a couple XR100 Honda motorcycles, four-cycle.
Oh, you communist.
The fuel shutoff valve, both of them, they start leaking. Out of the middle of nowhere, they just start leaking. So I've got to replace those, and it's got to be that gas.
Well, see, hold on, Nick. Nick, sometimes you're not as intelligent as I give you credit. By them designing a really bad gas that eats your gaskets and causes failure, you have to buy a new part. That's capitalism.
That's what I said. It keeps these small engine businesses.
I'm saying.
You're just trying to steal my idea.
I thought
again.
I had a joke there, and it went right over your head, but that's okay. So anyways, folks, all kidding aside, gas is about to get super expensive. So we already have a net loss of people leaving the state by, like, I don't even know how much anymore. It used to be almost a million a year with immigration offsetting it. This is going to be interesting because everything you do, everything you buy, everywhere you go, your wallet just got emptier, and we can thank one side of the aisle, one side only.
I think I'll buddy up with somebody that's got an electric car, and we can drive over to Reno and do our shopping once a month.
Well, that's a great idea.
Or maybe up to Ashland.
But you have to have an extension cord so you can make it.
There you go. Or a solar panel on top along with a little windmill for a fan.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to read you this comment out of a news cafe, and it is it's hitchhiking on to why you should call up the Secretary of State. This is by Christian Gardner. I have filled out a few of the long-term forms. I asked them to send a monitor to witness Clint the Clown fake election he is planning, should he do so. Imagine Patty Plum and Laura Hobbs at the controls. The folks on the phone were nice. Couldn't say much more than, yeah, we got a lot of calls. 1,000 Shasta County residents called us Secretary of State. Frank Treadway, here's what he said. Time to form a picket line at the election department. No videos on my ballot. Keep them secret as they always been. He thinks that everybody's going to be able to see how you voted. That's not the case. It's a blatant lie. Both of these are blatant lies.
Well, the thing is your ballot doesn't have your name or your signature on it. The only thing you ever sign is the back of the envelope if you do an absentee ballot. But otherwise, you only sign a thing saying you came in. Your name is nowhere on that ballot.
That's why these are misleading and deceiving. You know, and it's all going to be videoed. You're going to be able to video and see the signatures. Do these signatures match?
Yeah, well, that's good.
And they're going to video each ballot. If you have a question about them ballots being counted, you know, here, if you want to take the time, you look and you count them.
I support that 100%.
Absolutely.
So, Nick, here's something that I got sent to me a couple of weeks ago, and I really want people to understand. 100%, without any exaggeration, all green anything is a scam, a fraud, and we've got to kill it. If it wasn't for government subsidies, none of it would make money and it would go away and die. California, again, by one party, again, is doing California AB 942, changes to solar credits. And I read, California Assembly Bill 942 aims to amend Public Utilities Code to address net metering and tariffs for eligible customer generators. The bill impacts how electrical utilities compensate customers to generate their own electricity. So basically, it's going to lower the reimbursement for use providing power to the grid. So what was already a financial boondoggle, the power companies are now going to pay you less for the electricity you generate, and they're going to sell it back to you for more. Thank you very much again. This is one of the reasons, again, why get the government, stop doing all the subsidies. If it's going to last, let it stand on its own. Musk would be a poor guy if he didn't have government subsidies, because if his entire business model relies on government subsidies to buy his car. Even now, you still get $7,000 in the big, beautiful bill. They're supposed to do $7,500 for an electric vehicle, and it's being removed and then it's being put in. But if it stood on its own, if you buy gas cars or whatever, you don't get subsidies. You have to pay the full boat. You have to pay for your full energy. They should do the same for solar, for the batteries, everything. And so California is now not only convinced you and almost mandated that you go to solar, they're going to pay you less to do it. Isn't that great?
You know, I was hitchhiking on a conversation earlier this morning, and some elderly people threatened to sue the solar company for elder abuse. Do you know anything about that?
I do. Right now, the solar industry is being sued nationwide, many, many lawsuits, because what they do, and I actually have a personal experience where a local solar company, I won't name names, but a local solar company found a lady living in a care facility. She didn't even live in the home. She was maybe mentally a little off. I mean, she was not my client. I was the buyer's agent on this particular one. But they convinced her to put in a $70,000 solar system in the city of Reading, and she lived in a care home. So when it came time to sell the house, her son, who happened to be a lawyer, was going through it all, and he goes, well, wait a minute. How did they convince my mom a year ago? She was already living in a care facility to sign up for a $70,000 solar system on a house that she doesn't even live in. And he basically went to the finance company and said, look, I'm going to sue you for a lot of money if you don't get this out, because it's elder abuse. And they got rid of the lien, and my buyers actually, oddly enough, got a $70,000 brand new solar system because of elder abuse. But that's what they do. They go prey on the old folks and convince them that this is going to save them money, and it doesn't. It does, and especially now that the reimbursement rate is lower, it doesn't save them money, and it only costs them money, because the REU, if you go on their website in the city of Reading, in writing on their own website, it says the average length of time before you're going to start to break even is 17 years. If I handed you a dollar today and said, Nick, you're going to see a penny in 17 years, would you do that deal?
No, but thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the life expectancy of the solar is what, barely 17 years?
Well,
I mean it's wore out and gone by then. You got to buy a new one.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, it's a relatively young process, I guess. And so they projected these panels should last 25 to 30 years, but they're not lasting quite that long. And then the inverters are breaking. And then there's the big push to get batteries. And batteries only last, even the Musk Tesla battery, I think that they've got a projected lifespan of about 10 years. And those things are like $10,000 to $15,000.
Sure.
So you break that down, that's $1,000 a year, so about $100 a month to have a battery that you're going to have to replace in 10 years or so. So nothing about it makes financial sense. It's like having an electric car. You know, the batteries are lasting between 7 to 9 years, and then you got to go put a new car or a new battery. And the battery, I believe, on a Tesla is like around 12 to 14 grand. Could you imagine buying a Honda and owning it 10 years and you had to put a new motor in for 14 grand every?
Oh boy.
You wouldn't buy the car.
No, absolutely not. And that's not counting, you know, each wheel has an electric motor.
Yeah. And it weighs, on average, 2,000 pounds more than the standard car, so our roads are getting deteriorated much faster as well.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's why they're going to come up with a mileage tax.
Well, because, yeah.
And it's not going to, in my opinion, it probably won't just be electric cars that gets the mileage tax. They'll feather it on over to everybody.
It will start off as, see how easy this is. We gave it to the electric people, but we should be charging the gas people as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's something I've been wanting to get to. I've been packing this book in and out for about a month or so. The Scandalous Presidency of Barack Obama by Matt Margolis. And it goes through each one of his scandals. But, you know, we're talking about our election machines getting hacked, and you've got the failed recall people and all the liberals say, oh, no, it's not possible, it can't happen, blah, blah, blah. Well, Cheryl Atkinson, she has a blog, a podcast now called Full Measure.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a book, what was it? It wasn't Shadow Band. It'll come to me, and if it doesn't, it's not a big deal. I'm going to read this paragraph out of this book. And what happened was the U.S. government invaded her home computer and was erasing things, and they had a program in there to where they couldn't trace them. And this is back in 2012, and I have to think they probably perfected their
technique
since then. So here goes. Have patience with my reading. A cybersecurity firm performed a forensic analysis on Atkinson's work computer and concluded that it had been accessed by an unauthorized, external, unknown party on multiple occasions in late 2012, according to CBS News. That's who she worked for at the time. While no malicious code was found, forensic analysis revealed an intruder had executed commands that appeared to involve and remove the data. This party also used sophisticated methods to remove all possible indications of unauthorized activity and alter system times to cause further confusion. The DOJ Inspector General also investigated Atkinson's claims. She gave the IG her home computer, but CBS News did not provide them with her work computer. Since it had already been examined, their investigation was therefore inconclusive. The media then falsely rushed to claim that the IG report had debunked all her claims.
And if I remember correctly, they also planted, I want to say, child porn on her husband's computer. I'm almost sure they did that too. That was our government against the American people.
Yes. But, you know, back in 2011, February of 2011, they were invading a private person's computer and putting in a system to where it couldn't be detected. And, you know, that just shows you how far they could go with our election computers.
Yep.
And you've got these idiots that go to the supervisors' meetings that are always yelling and screaming and using profanity. There's no wire going to these computers. They can't be hooked up to the Internet. Well, there's no wire going to that phone you got in your hands right now, and it's hooked up to the Internet, isn't it?
It knows everywhere you go.
And they won't let anybody inside those vote counters, and it's just obvious to me that our elections have been manipulated, and I think a long, long time ago. This isn't something that just started.
Oh, no. I mean, you know, technology is such that they can do so much clandestine bad stuff, and you never know. And next thing you're accused, and one of the scary things with AI, Nick, is AI can now generate an entire thing of you. The voice, the look, they can make a video of you that is almost impossible to tell that it's fake. They're called deep fakes. And that's what's coming is they can plant stuff on your computer. Then they can provide some kind of a video because, you know, our eyes will say, oh, there's Nick doing whatever. And it's all fake. I mean, we've reached a point where.
Well, with me, they might believe it.
Well, I would too. But the reality is we've reached a point in humanity where we really are not going to know what's real.
There's kids. Pre-20-year-old kids that are killing themselves because of some of the things that have been planted with fake ID.
Well, yeah, with the AI. AI can become your you can have a fake friend in AI, and what has happened is these AIs have been convincing kids to kill themselves.
Well, yeah, we've got these pictures about that. You have a computer. Having sex with a donkey, and we're going to spread it around. The kid goes and kills himself.
Yeah.
And it never happened.
And you can't prove that it didn't. So I got something here that I read a couple different people and articles I think are worth reading. And so this little paragraph, give me a second here, folks. This is one of his threads, and I will put it out there. But it says, the only thing worse than a federal government that can't control the nation's borders or balance a budget or keep track of how it's spending trillions of your dollars is one that has a powerful unified database for all your private information. Imagine drones with autonomous kill authority running AIs on facial recognition software. That's where we're at. That's 2025. We're at the point where you have a government that's out of control, even with Trump. The debt's getting unsustainable. They are collecting all the information they possibly can on you and I. I mean, this show's probably one of their red flags. I'm sure we don't have the CIA out in front of us every morning.
KCNR hate shows.
Yeah. And right-wing extremists. And that's where we're at. So when you talk about 2011, it's only gotten worse.
Oh,
it's only
yes.
gotten worse in 2025. And these poor kids, I mean, I feel bad. I mean, when you were a young kid,
you're self-conscious.
Well, when you were a young kid, you had to, chip it out on a granite counter, and that was how you guys did letters. And then I got to actually write on paper. It was an invention they invented back in Roman times, just when you were getting to be adolescent. These kids now, they don't know what's real, what's not, what to believe. They've got to be an influencer. They've got to be this and that. And
liberals are in the same boat.
It's just crazy what we've got facing our country now. And, I mean, I don't want to belabor it and be negative. It's just, when you see this book, The Scandalous Presidency of Barack Obama, I'm amazed it's not a multi-book set. I mean, I thought it was going to be like an Encyclopedia Britannica, 42 volume thing.
Oh, geez.
Was there anything that he did that wasn't a scandal is maybe a better question.
The Obamacare fraud, the BP oil spill response and cover up, the slush fund scandal, Fast and Furious, the Solyndra scandal.
Solyndra.
The GSA scandal, the Benghazi attack
scandal.
And cover up, the Pigford scandal. I'll read that to you. That's amazing how much they cost us. There, the IRS scandal, media spying scandal, NSA scandals. You know, Edward Snowden, he was a hero.
Yep.
So was Julian Assange.
Yep.
And, one of the good things I think President Trump has done is brought those white African farmers, South African farmers over here to the United States and gave them refuge.
Absolutely.
But I'm ashamed that we didn't do it his first term. They've been killing those poor people and taking their property.
Yep.
And I don't know. They can't keep the farms going. Maybe they're trying to develop a hunting preserve or something.
Well, yeah. No, I read about this years ago and talked about it briefly, maybe one of our earlier shows about what was going on in Africa. And basically, Nelson Mandela was a communist, and his legacy lives on today. And that is of the apartheid. I'm not going to sit there and say that apartheid was great. Let's pass that. It was bad. They did bad things. But the reality is, here we are, and now it's swung so far the other way that the white farmers, who were actually some of the biggest producing net income generators for South America or South Africa, they said, okay, we're just going to take your farm. And these gangs show up, rape the women, rape the children, kill them, and then they take the farm. And that's been happening for years, and nothing was ever said.
But the farm goes to hell. They don't know how to farm.
They don't know how to farm.
South Africa was a food exporter.
Yep.
Now it's a food importer.
Yep. It's a third world hellhole right now.
And the thing is, when the Dutch showed up down there, none of that was getting farmed. There were very few Africans living down there. It's kind of like the Panama Canal, you know. We feel whole again. We got our canal back. Hey, buddy, you never had a canal.
Yeah.
We built it, remember?
Yeah, those 38,000 Americans who died of dengue fever and malaria, that they weren't Panamanians. They were Americans.
Yeah.
So, no, Nick, you know, we've hit a lot of stuff today. And when it was the Biden regime, there was so much stuff that you shook your head and you said, this can't be happening. I'm getting the sense of that feeling again that you can't believe some of the stuff. You just shake your head when you see Trump and Musk going at each other and the gas tax that we're about to get hit, you're just like, this is insanity. We're purposely trying to kill the golden goose. It's weird.
So is Redding. So is the city of Redding.
I know. It's just strange.
That truck stop that burnt down up here on between here and Shasta Lake City, it's just now got its permits to rebuild. It's been sitting there burnt down for 2 years.
I know.
That should be fast-tracked.
That should have been rebuilt and started 3 months after the thing burned down. Obviously, it burned. Get the investigation. Give them the permit to rebuild.
Yes.
I mean, how much money did that business lose, if it's even still available?
How many sales tests would have done sandwich shop there on Bocelli Lane?
See, look at that. An endorsement from Nick Gardner. That's going to probably raise their sales by at least one.
I hope so. That one person will tell another friend, and then you've got two, and you've got four, and I can only multiply a little bit further than that.
Well, but, I think you've got you can.
You know, the thing about
the news
Don
from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.